Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. A.W. Tozer once wrote that what comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. You know, and it's true. How you view God affects how you view life, how you see yourself, whether or not you embrace your calling, whether or not you're willing to trust God's miraculous work in your life, and even how you show up in life and relate to others. Well, one of our favorites, best-selling author and speaker, Louis Giglio, joins me today to talk about his book, Seeing God as a Perfect Father and Seeing You as Loved, Pursued, and Secure. Every one of us needs to know that we're loved, pursued, and secure. And the way to do that is to see God as He is. We got a handful of copies of Louis' book to give away today. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Hey, and if you're traveling this season, take us with you. The app is free. Go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network, and that way you can live stream our shows from anywhere or catch the podcast after the fact. Love that app. And like I said, it's free. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Louis Giglio is pastor of Passion City Church, an original visionary of the Passion Movement, which exists to call a generation to leverage their lives for the fame of Jesus. Since 1997, Passion conferences have gathered hundreds and thousands of college-age young people in events across the U.S. and around the world. Louis is a national best-selling author of over a dozen books, and he and Shelley make their home in Atlanta, and we love him. Louis, welcome back to the show.
Suzy, thank you so much. You know, I always love being on the show with you, and I'm really pumped to be on again today.
Yeah, our conversations are rich indeed, so I'm so looking forward to this. Well, before we dig into the content of this amazing book, just making it personal, what's the Lord been talking to you about in your prayer times these days?
Well, I tell you, He's been trying to help me understand, Suzy, that it is His desire to restore what has been lost. And I'm working on just stirring in my heart a desire to preach some messages in the future, maybe the near future, around this idea of reversing the curse of the global pandemic. And
wow,
it was real. We're not trying to brush it under the rug. Obviously, there was serious loss on multiple levels. But it's 2023 now, and before you know it, it's going to be 2024. And I believe the Lord wants us to turn the page. And He wants us to step into the future. And yes, maybe we lost time. We lost opportunity. We lost a dream. We lost a year of school. We lost the plan that we had made. We've lost some of our sanity. We've lost some of our peace of mind. But God is a restorer. And I've just had this passage, Suzy, just turning over and over in my heart. The prophet Joel said that the Lord, speaking for the Lord, He says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. I will give back to you, God is saying, for the years, not the day, not the hour, not the week, not the month, but the years. And I think a lot of us are still looking in the rearview mirror at all that was lost in 2020 and 2021. But it's time for us to look to our Father and to realize that He restores and gives back what the enemy has taken from us. And I think it's time for us to step into that and say goodbye to the pandemic and goodbye to all the destruction that it left in its path, and believe God that He can actually put us back on our feet, get us moving back into His purposes and plans, and that He can restore what has been stolen from us.
Somebody got to text me an amen. Amen, amen. You know, I one of the things that in one of my other books where I talk about the post-battle inventory, things we need to ask ourselves, like how has my theology changed? How has my view towards people changed? Because sometimes you come to these battles, as they say, bitter, not better, where you suddenly are diminishing other people's struggles. Well, that's nothing like what I came through. Or you lower your theology because you're so disappointed in God. And it seems to go where you're saying, sometimes we need to look at the lies we picked up when life let us down. Wouldn't you say where we need to explore how has my theology changed for the worse, really, and diminished because of what I just came through? And I want to live with a holy expectancy. I mean, I would love you to just say a word about that.
Well, I mean, if we think about it in real terms, Susie, and I don't want to get too much in the granular, but if you're 15 years old right now, and you, obviously, you've lived through the pandemic, which none of us have lived through anything like in our lifetime. It's not the first time it's happened in America. It's not the first time it's happened in the world, but it is the first time a health pandemic of this nature has happened in our lifetime. So if you're 15 right now, you're listening to Susie and I talk, 1/7 of your existence, think about that. If you did a pie-shaped graph, 1/7 of your time on planet Earth is called COVID. Now, if you're like me and you're 65, you know, a very small percent of my life on planet Earth is called COVID. That doesn't mean it wasn't bad. It just means that I have a lot of other experiences to stack it up against. I came through 9/11. I came through the Vietnam War. We've come through the Cold War. We've come through a lot of crisis. And so now we can look at COVID and go, it was terrible. I wish we hadn't gone through it, but we're going to make it. God's going to be faithful. God's even going to ultimately use it. But if you're 15 years old, you're looking at COVID and making it through COVID, and you're thinking maybe all of life is going to be like this. And that shatters your confidence. It shatters your trust and hope in God's purposes and plans. And it causes you to want to shrink back and not to step up and step forward. And so I just want to speak a message, you know, that maybe it was a seventh of your life, but it wasn't a seventh of God's faithfulness over millennia of time, thousands of years of his faithfulness, bringing his people through the hardest things on earth. And at the end of the day, Susie, these things aren't designed to weaken our view of God. They're actually designed to strengthen our view and confidence in God's faithfulness to bring us through.
Amen. And there's something so powerful about living with a holy expectancy where you're anticipating that God is going to be true to his nature versus bracing for impact and wondering what next terrible thing waits for you around the corner, right? When you're getting into a position to go, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. You know, Jesus came, he's even said himself, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you have life to the fullest. And so that we could learn to live into that going, the enemy may do this, but God is greater still. I can't wait to hear those messages, Louis. Once you develop them, you got to come back here and share them because wow. All right. Not to boss you around or anything, but I do have the mic. So I'm going to please come back and share those messages when you write them. All right. This is an excerpt from your book. So great. It says, God wants you to know who he is. God is not obscure, mysteriously engaging in a cosmic game of hide and seek. No, God is announcing his presence with every sunrise and declaring his beauty with every sunset that follows. He's gone the extra mile to pursue you and reveal himself to you. God wants you to see him in all his glory and splendor. That's so beautiful, Louis, and it really does piggyback off of what you just said, that if we could understand the nature of God, we could come through these hard times still looking for the majesty and the glory of God, because that hasn't changed. I'd love for you to unpack that a bit more.
Well, it's just an amazing thought hearing you read those words, Susie. It's stunning. And I've been around church my whole life, but I don't ever want to lose the wonder of what we're talking about today, that the God of the cosmos, the God in his power who created the universe with a word, that same God created me. I am not incidental. I am not accidental. I am not random. I am not disposable. I am the handiwork of Yahweh. And I was designed. I was thought up. I am intentional and intended. I was created by God and for God on purpose and for a purpose. And there, what more can you say? I mean, just, we should just play the music and let the show end, and we should all go on about the rest of our days in absolute awe that we are the designed handiwork and craftsmanship of God himself. And that's where we get our value, and it's get where we get our worth. It's where we get our right view of ourselves, and it's where we get our view of each other. And I think that, you know, the enemy's doing everything he can to shatter our sense of worth. And the, you know, sneakily, the way, if that's a word, I don't know if that's a word or not, but craftily, one of the ways he does it is by getting us to interpret through our own lens who we are and what we're worth, instead of looking through the lens of Almighty God, that lens that never changes, where he tells us who we are and what we're worth. And how do we know this? We know this because he's come for us. He's come from heaven to earth to pursue us, to seek and save, to hound us down, if you will, through all of our foolish choices and crazy lives, to the place where we realize that God in heaven wants a relationship with us. He does not want to be hidden. He wants to be found. He wants to be known. And he wants us to know that we are known by him.
As we go to break, friends, I want you just to pause in what Louis just said, that you're made by God, you're made for him, you're a masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus so that you could do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. If you could personalize that and just sit with that. And I mean, I honestly think as you declare that of your life and you start to believe it in your heart of hearts, it would change your physiology because you'd be acting in consistency and agreement with heaven's song over your life. Talking to Louis Giglio today. Louis, when we come back, I'd love to know how you came to know God as a good father and maybe even what kinds of obstacles you had to overcome to know him in that regard. Louis Giglio is my guest today. His beautiful book, Seeing God as a Perfect Father and Seeing You as Loved, Pursued, and Secure. I want that to sink in too. You're loved, pursued, and you're secure. As Christians, we can't be more secure than seated with Christ. Hey, if you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about faith, you can text the word faith to 41224. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We're talking to one of our favorites today. Louis Giglio joins me to talk about his amazing book, Seeing God as a Perfect Father and Seeing You as Loved, Pursued, and Secure. I don't know if you can see yourself as loved, pursued, and secure if you don't see God as the perfect father, as a good father that he is. And many people have father wounds. And if you have a hard time really imagining that God is a good father, an invested father, a protective father, you might want to read this book. And I'm happy to say we've got a handful of copies to give away. Just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Louis, I'd love to know how you came to know God as a good father and even what kinds of obstacles you had to overcome to get there.
I give credit to a guy who poured into my life, Susie, when I was in late high school, early college years. His name was Dan DeHaan, and I mentioned him in the book. In fact, that's where I learned about who A.W. Tozer was. In fact, I didn't actually learn who A.W. Tozer was. I just knew what comes into our minds when we think about God. The quote you used is the most important thing about us. And I thought, wow, that's amazing and powerful. And then there was all these other amazing teachings. And sometime Dan DeHaan went to heaven in a plane crash, sadly. I began to grow in my faith and I started reading A.W. Tozer. And then I realized, oh, Dan was just channeling A.W. Tozer to us when we were in high school and early college years. And Dan was a phenomenal lover of God. No one's ever been around my life who inspired me more to walk in an intimate relationship with God than Dan. And the main thing that he taught us was that God, even though he is holy and majestic and creator and mighty and omnipotent and all of these theological concepts that we know, that all of those are wrapped, Susie, in the skin of Father. And he showed us that in the scripture. And I say this in the book, that Jesus uses the word for God Father 189 times in the four Gospels. More than any other way, he refers to God. Jesus refers to him as Father, and he does it in all the key text. And when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father, he could have said our Creator, our Master, our Lord, our King, our Sovereign, but he said our Father. And the reason why God wants to reveal himself to us and is Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, why he's placed himself in a context of Father, is so that we can know him. Because how do you know grace? How do you know love? How do you know truth? How do you know justice? How do you really come into a relationship with sovereignty? Well, you can't unless those characteristics are wrapped in the skin of a father, because we all know what it's like to want to put our arms around a father, to have a relationship with a father, to put our hand in the hand of a father. And so Dan started unpacking that for us and inviting us early on. He wrote a book called The God You Can Know. I still read it every few years, even though he went to heaven in 1982. And I just have been on that journey ever since, the impact that he made on my life. I want to know God. I want to walk with God. I want an intimate relationship with God. And the way that I do that is through Christ, obviously, by the Spirit. But I'm coming into a relationship with the Father, who is not just the Father. Here's the miracle of all, Susie. He's my Father. Come on. And I am his Son.
Beautiful. This listener said, that same God not only created me, but wants a personal, intimate relationship with me. It's an awe-inspiring realization. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. They say, I genuinely believe that as Christ followers, we need to find ways to remind ourselves and others of the awe that God is worthy of. First of all, wholehearted amen to that. But I would say, Louis, that's what probably marks your whole ministry, your years of ministry, is helping us to get back to awe. I thank you for doing that, because that really has been, that's just been the marker, I would say, of your ministry.
Well, that means a lot to me, and it's the kind of compliment, you know, we all don't really need a lot of compliments in life, but if you get one, and it is that you've helped put awe into the vocabulary of my relationship with God and my understanding of God, my the way that I do life with God, then I think that's a really, really wonderful thing to have done with your time on earth, because our lives were made for more, Susie. And this is the thing that God is trying to get through to us on. The things that we are so enamored with on this earth, celebrity and fame and money and power and the glitz and the glam and the highs and the hits and the dopamine and all these things that are driving us every day, they're nothing compared to the King of Kings, who is sitting on a throne right now. He is beautiful and he is splendid and he's funny and he's he's the kind of person you want to share a meal with, and he's trustworthy and he is just absolutely glorious in every way. And a glimpse of that really in a second can just put all of this earth in its proper place. What the song we used to sing, you know, that the things of this world, they grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I think somewhere along the way, and I'm not putting all of us in one big basket, Susie, but somewhere along the way, the church opted for a more strangely and a more dim version of the glorious story of God, thinking that that's the way we could appeal to the world, when our hearts and our souls were made for the glorious version, the over-the-top version of God's glory and grace. And we've got to get people's eyes up, and we've got to pray that God would give us a spirit of revelation that we could just see an instant of his beauty, because it would just absolutely cause everything on this earth to pale. And there's some phenomenal things on this earth. I was just in a plane flying over the Swiss Alps a few days ago, and I'm telling you, that's stunning beauty. But to think that heaven and the new earth are going to be even better than that, it's something that we've all got to carry in our hearts as we move towards him.
Man, amen. Amen. You know, you can see how threatened the enemy is by our Father God connection, by the way he goes after the fathers in culture. I mean, the message in the over the last decade, couple decades, has gained momentum that fathers don't matter. You don't need a father, when nothing could be further from the truth. And that's why I think the timing of this message, because I think we're now seeing the backlash of a fatherless culture. I think maybe not everybody is spouting that message as much because we're seeing the backlash of it. But I mean, again, this has been, I think, a key part of your message in your ministry over the years. Speak to that, if you would, because you're ministering to all these young people, I would guess most have a father wound of some kind. What's that been like?
Well, it's a tragedy, and you know, it's not accidental. And I think for you even to say that, Susie, it just helps kind of pull the curtain back a little bit. Let's think about it really quick. If God is a father, and this isn't like an ever evolving like process, from age to age, Alpha and Omega God has been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So even in the Trinity and its beauty and its nature, there is the relationship of a father and a son. Now, that's not excluding ladies, obviously. It's the relationship of a father and a daughter, the father and a child. But in the case of the Trinity, father and son always has been, is, always will be. No one will be able to come against the nature of God. And so when we were born again, we're born again how? Spiritually. By whom? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that now we are the sons and the daughters of God. This is our identity. It's our new relationship. It's who we are. So if God is Father, we're born again as sons and daughters, then what is the enemy going to do? He is going to put a target on Father. He's going to try to destroy the concept of Father, the trust of Father in every earthly relationship of Father, so that then he can put a hurdle, an obstacle in front of people who are coming to God. And then you hear them say oftentimes, oh, if you say God's a father, well, if God is a father, I don't want anything to do with him. If he's like my dad, no, thank you. Well, that's a hurdle now that we can overcome. Praise God. That's what this book is all about. But why is there a hurdle? Because the enemy knew in the first place, if I can destroy Father, I can really put a dent in people's confidence in having the kind of relationship with God that he desires to have with them as loved sons and loved daughters. And beautifully, what we said earlier relates to this as well. What the enemy has stolen, God can restore. And my heart goes out to every person who has had a crummy relationship with their dad, no relationship with their dad, a painful relationship with their dad. But I'm telling you, that is not the end of your story. There is a creator God. He is not a bigger version of your earthly dad. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect version of your earthly dad, and he can pour onto you a blessing you never got from your earthly father, and you can live under that blessing and out of that blessing every day of your life.
And regardless of what you grew up in, you can know your Father God as he is, and he can heal what's broken. He can restore what's been lost, and he can destroy the works of the enemy. As we're going to break here, I want to read this. Louis writes, all of us have different experiences with our dads, but what unites us is the need that's woven into our souls, the need to be loved and treasured, noticed and accepted by our fathers. No matter how defiantly we may try to dismiss the craving that's in our hearts for a father's blessing, we are all incomplete without it. Deep down, we all simply must have it. On the other side, Louis, I'd love for you to talk about what a good father is. Give us the attributes of a good father as it relates to Father God. What does a good father do for his children? You know, and we'll talk more about, you identify six father types in the book, and maybe this will help friends. If you're listening, it'll help you heal. Louis Giglio is my guest today. His book, Seeing God as a Perfect Father. More with Louis in just a moment. I don't don't know what kind of father you had. Maybe you even didn't have a father, but we need a good father. And praise God, we have a good father in God. But oftentimes when you've had a painful experience growing up, it's a big leap to trust God that he's good, that he sings over you, that he loves you, that he pursues you and wants you to know that you're secure in him. That's why today's guest is so important. Louis Giglio joins me today to talk about his book, Seeing God as a Perfect Father and Seeing You as Loved, Pursued, and Secure. And do you know how many things this knowledge, this truth would solve in you and your story? How many ways we strive out of insecurity, we position because we don't know that we're secure? It would really solve so much that we could live loved and live out of the overflow of that. And Louis says, God's not a riddle to be solved. He's a revealing God. He wants to be seen. He desires to be known. And God has been seeking you since before you were born. You were made by him and for him. That's why you've been searching for something of meaning beyond the here and now. And Louis, I would love for you to just talk about a good father. What does a good father do? What is a good father like?
Well, that's a big question. I think a good father is a lot of things, but you know, just to focus in on one, Susie, that I know is, you know, near and dear to your heart, a good father is present. Mm-hmm. And yes, a good father loves his kids and tells them that he loves them and through his action shows that he loves them. A good father is able. A good father is consistent. But I think one of the greatest, you know, characteristics of a good father is that he's present. This is what we want and what we need in life is we need our dad to show up. And for, you know, for me and earth, my dad's not showing up anymore. My dad's been gone out of my life and been in heaven for a long, long time. And for people listening to us right now, it's not possible for their earthly dad to show up. But this is what we wanted. It's what we always wanted all of our lives. We wanted our dad to be there. And what, you know, we talk about these six dads in the book. And the first dad is the absent father and could be absent because of death or divorce or disinterest or distance. But that dad isn't in the story. One in four kids in America don't have their biological father living with them in the home. This is an absolute massive issue for our nation because all of us long for a father's blessing. What do I mean by that? We long to have our father say, I love you. I am for you. I like you. I want to be with you. I want to be involved in your life. I want you to know that I am here for you. And so I think one of the best characteristics of being a good dad is just being present. And a lot of dads think they have to have everything figured out. No kid really needs a dad that has every single thing figured out, but they do need a dad who's there, maybe even admitting to them, I don't have this all figured out, but I'm here with you. We'll do it together. You won't be alone. I will be here for the highs. I'll be here for the lows. I'll be here if you succeed. I'll be here if you fail. You can count on me.
Wow. And I love that you went to this list of the six, Louis, because really, you just look at the opposites of these and you find yourself a good father, at least the opposites of the first five, because the last one is an empowering father. So the absent father, a good father, is a present father. The second is an abusive father. So a good father is a healing father, you know, a nurturing father. But say a word, if you would, about, because again, you've led hundreds of thousands, if not millions of young people. You've no doubt met young people who had an abusive father. So speak to that one, if you would.
Well, I would just say I'm so sorry. You know, it's just really tragic to think that the person that you trusted and needed to depend on the most is the person who hurt you, possibly the worst. And I, you know, there's not much to say other than God restores and he heals. And it's a process, but Jesus understands what it means to be abused. And I'm not saying that just in trite. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be sold out. He knows what it's like to be taken advantage of. And he knows the pain and the darkness of abuse. And he even knows what it's like to have his dad turn his back on him at the end of the story. Now, he didn't do that because our Father in Heaven's a bad father. He did it because his son had taken on the sin of the world. But nonetheless, Jesus knew in that moment on the cross what it's like to be forsaken by your father. And so I would just say to anyone who has suffered pain and wounds and abuse from the hands of their dad, that Jesus understands pain, he understands darkness and hardship, and he himself has wounds. He has got scars right now, today, Susie, in heaven, in his wrist, in his feet, in his side, where he was abused for our sin and for our shame. And those scars were wounds that are now healed. And so, yes, the wounds are real, but God can heal them through the power of his grace. And those wounds can become scars. And scars show that something bad happened, but that healing took place. And there is a story to tell. And I just offer that to anybody that's been through the hardship of abuse in a relationship with a father, that there is a perfect father in heaven who can heal and restore. And he can turn wounds into scars. He can turn our pain into purpose. And he can give us a story to tell about how we were brought through it all by the grace and the power of God.
Come on. Amen. I'm asking for a lot of amens today, but we're getting them even when I don't ask for them. So thank you for that. The absent father, the abusive father, the passive father. And what quick word I'll say about this, it seems that often when you've got a father who may be nice, but just not engaged, that sometimes you see it spin off where people become self-starters, overachievers, but from a father wound. And it's a harder one for them to talk about because, well, he didn't hit me, he wasn't mean to me, he just wasn't anything, you know? Or some go into destructive substance and numbing things because they don't want to feel, but it's so much harder for them to identify because it isn't abuse. It's just not engaged. So say a word of what you've learned about the passive father.
Well, the passive father, you know, actually is a little bit like my dad. And my dad, God bless him, he loved my sister and I so well, especially given that he had almost zero relationship with his father and confided in me at the end of his life, Susie, that he never felt loved and he never felt wanted all of his life. So here's a, you know, 60-something-year-old man at a place where he'd become disabled due to a tragic illness, telling me, his son, I've never felt loved. I have never felt wanted. My parents didn't want me. No one's ever wanted me. God doesn't want me. And no one's ever loved me, you know? And I just was floored by that reality. But when I understood that, I thought, well, man, you did a great job loving my sister and me, given that's the deficit that you were working with your whole life. But what that did to my dad was always around, but he wasn't really the leader of our family. We didn't have common ground spiritually, but my dad also just never really took the reins and said, okay, family, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to move forward. This is our goal as a family. This is, you know, what hill we're going to climb. My dad was just sort of quietly in the shadows while my mom was doing, you know, most of the order giving in our household and sort of telling everybody the way it was going to go. And my mom was amazing, by the way. She was a saint. But my dad, you know, just was sort of the passive one in the equation. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have ideas and he wasn't creative and he didn't step in and discipline us occasionally when my mom told him to. But he was more just in the fabric. And I didn't like that about my dad until later in life. And then I realized, wow, you're just in the fabric, because in his mind, he was just lucky to be there. He's just lucky to be in the story. And didn't really know how to take the leadership role of a family because he'd never seen a man do that in his life. And so the passive father has got some stuff going on. And I want people to hear today, you know, I'm not discounting any negative thing any father did, certainly not any hurtful thing. But Susie, dads are people too.
Yeah.
A big revelation happens in life when you wake up and realize, wait a minute, my parents are people. My dad is a son. My mom is a daughter. They had moms and dads, and they're dealing with stuff. And I may be in the slipstream of what they're dealing with that they didn't feel like they could talk about. And so maybe if your dad's passive and he's there, but he's just sort of, you know, blending into the background, it may be because your dad never really got taught how, showed how, led how to be the kind of man that you really hope that he can be. And God isn't passive is the main message. God isn't just in the fabric. God is right there willing to be a good shepherd, show you the way, show you the ropes, walk with you, put a light on the path, hold your hand, give you an example. He's there to be participating and active in every single part of your story.
So good. Yeah, the opposite of passive is actively engaged. He has a say. He cares if you stay out too late at night. He cares if you're indulging in behaviors that will hurt you, and he will say something about it because he's actively engaged. That's super important to know. And I love the grace. You know, if we could understand, I think the older we get, the more grace we do have for our parents, because we realize, and oftentimes, you know, our parents have been through so much more than we can possibly imagine and paid a price so things would be better for us. And it's so important for us to know that. So, okay, the performance-based father. And before you talk about that, the flip side of that, as far as our Father God, then, what I think of Louis is the grace-filled father, that his son paid so that we don't have to perform to gain anything, you know? But I'd love your thoughts on that, and just say a bit more, if you would, about the performance-based father.
Well, that dad, you know, probably had a dad in the same vein. And that dad is probably all of his life, you know, had a mindset that said, I got here because I earned it. I worked hard for this, and that's how you're going to do it. And I love you, but I love you if you jump through the hoop, if you measure up to the standard, and if you don't, you're going to hear about it and you're going to feel it. There's going to be a gap between me and you. And all I'll say about that is just take us back to that story about that Jesus told us of the father with the two sons. You know, one of them went and did crazy. We all know about that one. But the other one we don't talk as much about. He was at home counting the days, counting the years, never did wrong, never disobeyed his dad. He was doing the little 1, 2, 3, 4 cross mark, 1, 2, 3, 4 cross mark, 1, 2, 3, 4 cross mark every day of his life. Why? Because somehow he believed that his standing with his dad was completely contingent on his performance for his dad. And at the end of this story, the dad is out pleading with the son to come in to the party. Why? Because he wants this son to know the same thing he wanted the crazy son to know. Neither one of you are loved because of your performance. You're loved because I love you. And I just think we all need to hear this. You know, even if our dad kept raising the bar higher and higher and higher, God is the one who's come down and fully paid the price for us so that we can now move into life, Susie, to do great things. God wants us to succeed, to achieve, to do great things, to be best in class, to be best in our field. He wants that for us, but he wants us to do great things, not so that we can get his love, but because we already have it.
Come on. Amen. Okay, before we go to break, we're going to cover one more father type. This is the fifth of the six, because the sixth one is what you want in a father. He's the empowering father. So on the other side of the break, we'll talk about that one. But let's cover one more, the antagonistic father. What say you?
Well, it's sad. I think it's a newer trend. You know, I think, you know, Susie, when you look around, you see this more and more and more, where the father is not only not for the daughter, he's not for the son, he's in competition with the son, in competition with the daughter. That could be the mom as well. I mean, I was around a family not long ago, and I was like, this mom is trying to be the 16-year-old kid instead of letting the kid be the 16-year-old kid and her be the 38-year-old mom. And it's, you know, or however, I don't know if my math was good on that. I don't know exactly how old she is, but she's somewhere in her late 30s. And I was like, you're the mom. She's the daughter. And I think sometimes this antagonistic dad, he's in the story with the kids, but he's trying to steal or get, if you will, the attention. He's trying to get the blessing. He's trying to be the star of the show. And so he's always poking and prodding and contending with the kids. to sort of antagonize them, if you will, instead of just stepping back in a very humble way and saying, you know what, I am the head of this family and I am the one who, you know, leads the way in our home, but I'm willing to just humble myself and let you blossom and bloom under the waterfall of the blessing, and not make it all about the kids. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying not be in competition with the kids every single day.
So good. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Kind of like that, right? Wow. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about the empowering father. Paul writes in and says, thanks so much. Love Susie Louie on fathers. He said his dad and father's dad parallels mine exactly. I know people are very much relating based on all the amens coming in. Great conversation with Louie Giglio. I'm so grateful. We got a stack of books to give away thanks to Thomas Nelson and Passion, the ministry. Seeing God as a perfect father and seeing you as loved, pursued, and secure. And I just want to offer you a challenge again, friend. Every one of you listening today and those who will catch the podcast later, I want you to sit with God and ask him to show you, are there places in your soul that you still are yet to see yourself as loved, pursued, and secure? And then I dare you to ask God to make himself real to you in those ways where you can settle into that place, not in a passivity way, not even a presumptuous way, but in a way that is there's something settled in you because the Father has set his affection on you. How might you show up differently in life when you really start to go, you know what, I'm putting a period at the end of this sentence. God has proven his love. Jesus died for me. I'm going to live loved. I dare you. More with Louie Giglio in just a moment.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I know you're enjoying listening to Susie Larson Live right now, and you've made it a priority to do so. That's smart. I would really like you to listen to my podcast. So after you have fed the dog, walked the dog, and played fetch with the dog, you can tune in to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Also, if you don't have a dog, I just saved you lots of time.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We are having a very important conversation with our friend Louie Giglio, who's written a really important book, and I think the timing is absolutely divine of this book releasing, Seeing God as a Perfect Father and Seeing You as Loved, Pursued, and Secure. And I just want you to imagine the enemy's plan backfiring, because instead of you living insecure and unsure, you decide to take God at his word. You decide to pursue him, trusting that as you draw near, he's drawing near. And you start to enjoy a relationship with him that no enemy can break in and steal from you. And imagine that. The world will change when you start to change. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And so, Louie, we've been walking through these six father types you identified: the absent father, abusive father, passive father, performance-based father, antagonistic father. Finally, you talk about the empowering father. Say more.
Well, A, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there that are doing their absolute best to lead their family, to love their wives, to put blessing on their children. I just don't think they get enough credit, Susie. And somehow I heard the other day that Father's Day is in the like bottom fifth of holidays in terms of importance in the grand scheme of things. It's down there with Arbor Day. And so we've got to somehow recover the importance of the Father's blessing and celebrate all these empowering dads that are out there. And what is an empowering dad? An empowering dad is that father who is giving their children the belief that they can be everything that God has created them to be. They can overcome every obstacle. They can achieve any goal. They can become anything that they set their minds to do, that they can move forward in life in a way that is going to be whole and fulfilling and successful. And if anything goes wrong, and things are going to go wrong, let's just be honest about that. But if they do, that dad's going to be there to catch you when you fall, to pick you up when you stumble. It's, you know, my sister was my dad's favorite of the two of us. And we were in this drugs. Yeah, I know. But I was my mom's favorite. So it kind of worked out in
okay.
our family.
All right.
But we were in this drugstore one Saturday that was near our house. This is way back in time, probably 1970. somewhere along the early 70s, and they put a power cord across the aisle and one of those little metal, you know, things across the top of it so that you could see, hey, you got to step over this. My sister's running down the aisle, doesn't see it, trips, falls chin first on the floor, and just breaks her chin, you know, wide open. And my dad, oh my goodness, goes into action, has her in his arms, is over at the little soda fountain in this drugstore with a handful of napkins, now stopping the bleeding. We're in the car. He's driving with her in his lap. We are moving towards stitches. We are getting help. And it is just my dad in full force mode. And I think that's what the empowering father does. He says, run. Now, I can't stop you from tripping. There are going to be some potholes in the journey. Everything's not going to go just right. But I'm telling you what, if you hit the ground, I am going to have you in my arms so fast, you are not going to know what happened.
Come on.
And Shelley's dad went to heaven in January. Amazing, honorable, noble man. I had to change the dedication of my book, Susie, because we released this book under the title Not Forsaken many, many years ago. But this is the updated, renewed, redesigned, reworked copy under its original title that I've preached for dozens of years, Seeing God as a Perfect Father. Because this book isn't just for a forsaken person. This book's for every person.
Yeah.
But when I wrote this book, it was in present tense to Milton Bud Graves. And I had to change that now to past tense, Milton Bud Graves. And when he went to heaven and we were celebrating his life, Shelley has said many, many times about her dad, as early as like 6 years old, she can remember her dad saying to her, Shelley, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. And when I see her now, she's one of the most successful, one of the most thoughtful, one of the most influential, one of the strongest women I have ever seen in my life. I think a lot of it is traced back to a simple statement. You can do anything you want to do. And, you know, if you've heard, you'll never amount to anything. That some people listening to us right now, that's their legacy with their dad. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never accomplish anything. You'll never do anything in life. And here's an empowering dad coming into story saying, you can do anything you want to do. And I praise God that it's not hype, and we're not talking about hyperbole here. We're not talking about, you know, little Christian, you know, happy sayings that you put in post-it notes on the refrigerator door. We're talking about a God who has given us his spirit, who has put Christ's life inside of us, and who has given us the capacity as newborn sons and daughters to do everything that he has called us to do. And he says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so I know that God wants to restore that empowering trust into the hearts of people right now while we're talking, to cause them to have an awakening today to realize, you know what, my dad did speak doubt over me, but God, my heavenly Father, he speaks faith over me.
Come on.
And I'm going to believe in faith that I can do what God says I can do. I'm going to agree with God, not to spite my earthly dad. I pity my earthly dad because he probably never got a blessing and he probably didn't have any empowering in his life. But I do have a blessing. It's called the blessing of a perfect heavenly Father. I do have empowering. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've got faith because I'm going to agree with my God and I'm going to step into the future in confidence. And if I fall, and I probably will, I know he is going to swoop me up in his arms and he is going to get me stitched up and fixed up. And we are going to get back on the road again and we are going to live life to the full.
Somebody needed to hear that today. And I'm thinking, I've heard from listeners who talk about Father's Day that they sometimes dread it because on Mother's Day, we get wives get roses, moms get roses. On Father's Day, they say they get dressed down in front of their family, you know, buck up, dads, step up, dads, and they feel like they're getting battered and beat up. But I just want you to know, hear Louis's words. We honor you. We bless you. We know that you're often bleeding under your armor. And for every person listening, male or female, I want to leave you with this excerpt from Louis's book. He says, God has wired each of us with unique abilities, aptitudes, and desires. Somewhere amid this lies our created gifting, the pathway that we will follow on earth. The heart of our reason for being is to know and love our Maker and enjoy Him forever. Nothing is more important than that. Nothing surpasses that core purpose. Yet within our relationship with God, He tailors us to make our unique contributions to the greater good for His glory, giving our individual lives very specific meaning and direction. Louis, we love it when you join us. Thank you. I think a lot of healing happened today. God bless you, my dear brother.
Thank you so much, Susie. And we applaud all you great dads out there. It's always an honor to be on. Thank you. And God bless you.
God bless you all, friends. And we're praying for your healing. Like I said, mom or dad, no matter how old or young you are, if there's some healing needed in your soul, Jesus came to restore you, to restore your soul, to destroy the works of the enemy. So hold on to expectancy. Draw near to God and see what He will do. I wish we had 100 copies to give away today, but we've got 5. Seeing God as a Perfect Father. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We love you and appreciate you. God loves you most of all, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.